Welcome to Film Forum's podcast. The following event was recorded on May 1st, 2015, live at our theaters located at 209 West Houston Street in Manhattan.
Evening, everybody. Thank you all for coming out to Film Forum. I'm Adam Walker. I'm the publicist for the premieres program here. Thank you so much for coming out for the U.S. theatrical premiere of Albert Maysl's Iris. Give it up. It's impossible not to be struck by the extraordinary Iris Apfel. Even if you're only familiar with her from the style section of the New York Times, or more recently as the face of Kate Spade, Alexis Bitar, and others, she has a presence you cannot easily forget. But Albert Maysl's film does a great deal more than just appreciate this legendary 93-year-old New Yorker. He allows us to get closer to the unforgettable human being that she is. The recent press on both the film and Iris herself has been deservingly glowing. In her rave New York Times review, Manola Dargis called the movie a delightful eye-opener about life, love, statement eyeglasses, bracelets the size of tricycle tires, and the art of making the grandest of entrances. Stephanie Zakarik in The Village Voice said, "Iris is about much more than what we see on the surface, no matter how dazzling that surface may be. It's a celebration of the revivifying power of creativity." And Jordan Hoffman in the Daily News mused, "It's like time spent with your coolest, funniest, and most sage aunt." I'm sure we'll all agree with him when we have the pleasure of spending our own time with Iris tonight in a Q&A following the screening. So stick around, you don't want to miss her. Please enjoy Iris. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. You look sensational, as always.
Thank you. I was so cold. I got home in the middle of the night. We landed at Kennedy, and I had to wait outside. I didn't have a coat. I thought it would be warm by now. And the wind was whipping, and I had, I hope I didn't get pneumonia. So tonight I'm going to make up for it.
Well, we're glad you didn't blow away. So I just wanted to start with one question, then we'll throw it out to the audience. Can you kind of describe for us what your experience was of being the subject of an Albert Maysl's documentary?
It was very pleasant. I didn't think it would be because I refused at first. I didn't think I wanted a documentary. He called me. I was very surprised. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Nobody knows who I am. I don't have anything to sell. I have no ego problems. Thank you very much, but no thank you. And he called again, and then I told my several friends about it, and they all chastised me severely. And then I told Linda Fargo, who is a big wheel at Bergdorf Goodman, and she said, "My God, you must be sick. People would just die to have Albert take even a still photograph. And here he wants to do a documentary, and you are turning him away? Who the hell do you think you are?" So anyway, I was fortunate, and he called again and said, "Come on up to the studio." He has a wonderful studio in Harlem. And it was love at first sight, and we decided to do it. I had no idea what it would be like. I was a little bit nervous because everything that I knew about Albert's films were kind of on the gritty side. And I thought, how is he ever going to approach this? And I didn't know how because we had no working plan. There was no script. There was no nothing except a lot of blind faith on my part. And that was really, you know, then we had to worry about what the editor would do because they took a lot of film. And there's enough on the cutting room floor, I think, to make two or three more if anybody's so stupid.
The sequel. Great. Any questions from the audience? Just right up here. Just wait for the microphone. Oh. Thanks.
Are you going to the costume ball on Monday?
Oh, no.
Oh, you don't go to that?
No, I can't afford that. It's
I thought they would invite you.
It's become a media festival. I think the tickets are now at least $25,000 a plate. It's a big fundraiser, and I'm very happy because it helps keep the institute going. But they have to do it without my few shekels.
Hi, I have two questions for you. First is, I would like to know out of all of the different places that you've traveled, which do you think had the most unique clothing, and which place did you enjoy going most?
Oh, I enjoyed every place I went. I always find something wonderful everywhere. And I just got off the plane, and when I do, it does something to my ears, so I didn't hear the first question.
Oh, which place do you think has the most unique clothing?
Oh, well, it's comparing apples and oranges. Every place, well, I don't know, now the world is very homogenized, and you get the same things or versions of the same things wherever you go. My husband and I were always crazy about exotic places, and we love the Middle East, which, alas, is going up in smoke if it's not already finished. And we love North Africa, and we spent a lot of time in the souks, and I found wonderful things in those places. I like all that kind of stuff. But every place has something, well, not every place, but most places have something good to offer if you want to dig deep enough, and I like to dig. I think in another life I was a hunter-gatherer.
Finally, will you take me shopping, please?
Yes, if you take him shopping.
Oh, anytime. I don't get much chance to shop, and so when I do, I'm like I'm let out of a cage. Just present yourself, and we'll put you online.
Your jewelry is magnificent, but I didn't see you wear earrings, and I was just wondering if there's
a
reason.
I'm so sorry, I don't hear.
She said your jewelry is magnificent, but she didn't see you wear earrings.
No, because I mean, big glasses and big earrings don't too much. I used to wear huge earrings when they weren't popular and very difficult to find, but now my glasses kind of take up my face, and it's just too much. I love earrings on other people. I just love them. I design them, and we sell a lot of them, but not for a little old moi.
Just right there.
Just on a personal note, my sister and I have always been interested in reading and following your career, but we just learned this past year that one of your first jobs was working for our uncle, Robert Goodman, the fashion illustrator.
She said that their uncle is the fashion illustrator, Robert Goodman, and that you worked for him at one point. Is that true?
Robert Goodman was a men's fashion artist.
Yes, he was our uncle.
You told me we spoke on the telephone.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, oh, he was wonderful. I loved him. We had such a good time. I really enjoyed that job very much. We were across the street. He had a penthouse right across the street from Saks Fifth Avenue.
Oh, that we did not know.
And I used to spend my...
we
I used
were
to
there.
Spend,
I was there.
I didn't hear.
I remember being there, but I didn't know it was a penthouse, but I was like 5 years old at the time.
That's what they called it. Anyway, I spent my lunch hours in Saks Fifth Avenue drooling all the time. He didn't pay me that much. He had lots of interesting people come by. It was, and that led me to my next job. It was a good time.
Thank you. Do you want me to stand up or no? Stand up.
I have a question. How do you define your husband's style? And how would you say that your style has affected his in the years you've been married?
How would you define your husband's style, and how has it affected? How has your style affected him over the years?
Well, I guess it has affected him. He was always a bit of a dude. And he likes to get dressed, and he likes offbeat things. So when he was well, I used to buy most of his clothes, and he liked them very much. So I guess my style affected his. And I don't know, it's for you people to put a definition on my style. I don't know what it is, it's just me.
Hi, is there an Iris Apfel philosophy of living? Because it seems that everything you do, you have fun with, too.
Is there an Iris Apfel philosophy of living?
Well, there must be. I've never sat down to define it. I don't like making all these pronouncements and just kind of stultifying. I just do what I want to do. I hope I can help people. I think you have to live. Somebody told me once, you should live every day as though it were your last, because one day you'll be right.
Iris.
Yes.
The one thing we couldn't learn from the film was your height.
My height?
Yes.
I really don't know what it is because I'm shrinking rapidly.
If I were standing next to you, I could estimate.
I used to be almost 5'8", and I think I'm now in the 5'6" range.
Thank you.
As you age, you kind of, I don't know, you lose a lot of things, but height is an important one.
Thank you.
Hi, Iris. It seems like you really cherish everything that you buy, but do you actually have any fashion regrets from over the years of purchases?
Oh, well, I wouldn't be human if I didn't have a few, but I mean, I haven't got time to regret them. I was just, wasn't the best thing. I don't have too many regrets, fortunately. My taste has not basically changed. I think it's gotten more sophisticated and more polished, but I haven't changed violently, from pink tutus to a black leotard or something. No, my style has basically been the same.
Iris, did you enjoy thrifting in your day? The thrift shops in New York City putting together different eras?
Did you enjoy thrifting in your day? Did you thrift shop?
Oh, of course. I went to every kind of a place you can imagine. Street markets, flea markets, souks, thrift shops. Secondhand. Everything. I left no junk pile unturned. It's fun. I always like mixing high and low. I think it makes an outfit much more interesting. I think a designer look, top to bottom, is rather boring and witless.
Anybody else?
But for them that likes it, it's good. I mean, I don't sit in judgment. I think everybody should dress in a way that makes them happy, because I always say it's better to be happy than well-dressed. If getting dressed upsets you and you worry too much about it, just forget it. It's just nice to be appropriate. I like to see people being appropriately attired.
Hi, Iris. Just I'm over here. It's okay that you can't see. I'm wondering how you feel about body hair on women.
How do you feel about body hair on women?
I never really thought about it.
As it should be. Okay.
Well said. I'm wondering how the glasses got started. Because I saw in the older pictures you weren't wearing them, or you had a different style on.
Well, no, I didn't have different style. I wasn't wearing them. I didn't need glasses early on. And I just always, since I've been a toddler practically, I've been loving flea markets. So I've been going even when I had just a few pennies. And I was always very much attracted to unusual spectacle frames whenever I found them. And I don't know why I bought them. I just thought they'd be a wonderful accessory. And I put them all in a box. And then periodically, when I was a teenager or grown up and dating, I would take out a pair and try them on with an outfit, and they just looked wonderful. So I wore them, just as a gag without any lenses. They looked pretty silly, but I liked them. And then when I finally had to wear glasses, I said, well, if you have to wear glasses, you might as well wear glasses. So I took out the biggest pair of frames I had and had lenses put in. And people would, look at me as though I were a little touched and say, why do you have them so large? And I would say, the bigger to see you. And that shut them up.
Thank you.
I don't know. Now people say that I never dreamed of wearing them as a
fashion statement.
Yeah, no, as a... Oh, I'm losing it.
A signature.
It seems the round glasses have become a trend, possibly because of you?
Well, I don't know. You'll have to ask the designers.
Okay. One more.
Hi, Iris. My friend and I have both had the experience where people will come up to us and say, I really like your necklace. is it heavy? And you yourself, during the movie, said that some of your jewelry is heavy. I'm interested to know if you've had that question posed to you and what your answer is.
Well, people ask me all the time, is it heavy, is it heavy, is it heavy? I mean, what difference does it make? It shouldn't bother them. Anyhow, I do have a few pieces that particularly, I have some wonderful early Native American jewelry. And those great pieces were normally worn by the chiefs. And they were big strapping guys, and they could carry them. And I have a few in the collection. And I only wear them when I'm absolutely assured that I don't have to stand on my 2 feet for more than about 6 minutes, because I would keel over. But they're so beautiful, they're worth it. A few of them are in, I don't know if any of you have seen this, any of the shows, but a few of them are in the shows. I, if you hadn't noticed, I like big.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. It's a real treat. Iris Apfel, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening to Film Forum's podcast. Visit us online at filmforum.org, where you can learn more about our films, memberships, subscribe to our free weekly e-newsletter, and to find out the ways you can support our nonprofit cinema. And if you have the time, please visit our iTunes page and leave a rating and review of our podcasts. Copyright to this program belongs to The Moving Image Incorporated.